This morning's reading is taken from Luke 2, verses 41 to 52. This may be found on page 858 of the Pew Bible. Luke 2, 41 to 52. The boy Jesus in the temple. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposed him to be in the group. They went a day's journey, but then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting amongst the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Bless this reading of this holy word.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I wonder if you've got something like this at home just now. You might have had something like this last week or the week before, and maybe it looks a wee bit different now. This is an amaryllis bulb. Now, we're not pro-amaryllis. There are other flowering winter spring bulbs. If you like hyacinths or crocuses, that's fine. It's okay, but this one's an amaryllis bulb. And if I say amaryllis just one more time, we're all going to end up singing Tony Christie songs. Is this the way to amaryllis? Oh... We'll get there eventually. These are popular gifts at Christmas time and New Year time. You see them for sale in the shops, and often people buy them and give them as gifts. And it's a really lovely thing over January to see something on the windowsill or on the mantelpiece or wherever you put your bulb growing and eventually flowering. And it turns into something like this. That's what the picture on the box looks like. It's not what the ones in our house end up looking like. Now, a bulb is a good thing. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that amaryllis bulb sitting in its pot. But we don't want it to stay as a bulb. If it stays as a bulb, something somewhere has gone wrong. Either there's something wrong with the bulb, or there's something wrong with the soil, or there's something wrong with the amount of water or sunlight or whatever it is. It shouldn't stay as a bulb. I have a particular skill here. I can make them stay like bulbs every year, any time of the year. But that's not the way it should be. They should grow into a flower, with stem and a wonderful colour at the top. At the beginning of a new year, our reading was of the young boy Jesus. And we read there that he grew, he matured in wisdom and in stature. Will we grow like Jesus? Will we be mature and maturing disciples? We want to be a congregation where disciples come together and grow and mature. Babies are cute. Oh, isn't he nice? Even 12-year-old boys, when they're washed and on their best behavior, can be quite pleasant. But we don't want a baby to remain as an infant. We don't want a 12-year-old boy to remain as a 12-year-old boy. We want infants and young teenagers to grow, to continue to grow. In early years after birth, there are all sorts of measurements taken of babies, and this goes on for some time. Their height, their weight, their ability to respond to light and sound, all sorts of things are measured. And there are charts with graphs, and you can plot whether you're in the middle of the graph or you're a wee bit below or a wee bit at the top end of the percentile scales. Growing and maturing is important. And in human life, measuring those things are an important sign of health and well-being. Like seedlings maturing into smaller plants and growing into vines or trees or bigger plants or whatever it is they grow into. Whether it's plants or children, what gardeners and parents must provide is the necessary environment and the best possible conditions for maturity and growth. Good soil and sunlight and water, food and warmth, love and care, stimulation, books and games and activities. The appropriate conditions and environments for plants or for babies to grow. These things, they need to be provided. The gardener or the parent cannot do the growing for the plant or the child. The best they can do is provide the right conditions into which children and plants can grow. This is also true in the church. Our desire is together to mature as disciples of Jesus, to grow in our following of Jesus. We don't want to stay in the same place where we are today. We want to grow and mature. We don't want to find ourselves today in the same place we were on the second Sunday of last New Year. We want to grow and mature. As a congregation, we need to commit ourselves to providing the right conditions for maturity and growth of disciples. But we as a congregation, I as a minister or the elders or our mission development worker, we cannot mature for you. We can't make anyone grow. You can't force grow disciples. One of the great tragedies in the church is that there are too many Christians who've been following Jesus for 30 or 40 or 50 years. But they're still infants. They haven't grown or matured at all. And so the question at the start of this year, will we grow like Jesus? With children, there are key areas of growth which are measured. Weight, height, motor skills, language development. In our congregation, we've identified four areas in which we want to encourage one another to grow. Learning, fellowship, sharing and worship, praying. Learning's an interesting one. Wonder how many people drove here this morning in a car, and I wonder how many folks can explain how an internal combustion engine works. Wonder how many folks today will make use of a computer who have got the slightest idea how that computer works. Now, in those circumstances, it doesn't matter whether you know these things. If you want to learn how a car works, you can learn. If you want to learn how a computer works, great, go and do that. But it doesn't matter. But our life is more important than that. There are things we need to learn about living, about being disciples of Jesus. And we are a learning people. Don't be sitting there thinking, I'm past learning. We are learning people. Wonder if you can remember the days when we used to go into cafes and coffee shops and we could ask for a cup of coffee. And they produced a cup of coffee. And if you wanted milk, they would give you milk with it. You go into a cafe nowadays and say, I want a cup of coffee. What kind of coffee do you want? Do you want the new blend or the traditional blend or the super duper blend? If you say you want a coffee with milk, you're really getting complicated. Do you want flat white? Do you want latte? Do you want cappuccino? Do you want full fat milk or semi-skim milk or soya milk or almond milk? Or the crazy thing is we've all learned how to communicate with these folks. We now know how to go into a coffee and ask for a half cap, semi-skinned, full cream mocha with chocolate on the top, which 15 years ago we didn't know how to do. So we know how to learn. We are able to learn. And we need to encourage one another to grow in learning, to mature in learning about Jesus and our following of him. Fellowship. We spend time with people all the time, but we don't have fellowship with them. If you use public transport regularly, if you commute to work in the morning and you get the bus at 7:10 every morning, or you get the 7:30 train, within a week you're going to begin to recognize the other folks who get that bus or train at the same time. You spend time with these folks 5 days a week, but you don't have fellowship with them. Fellowship isn't just spending time with folks. Is developing a growing interest and care for them and being able to express that as we share something of our own life with them. It's not just about information. It is about emotion. Sharing in worship. Worship is not a spectator event. Cannot say that strongly enough. Both of those words are wrong. Worship is not an event. It is a way of life. If it's not a way of life, then nothing works. Worship is how disciples of Jesus live. And it's not something we watch other people do. We have to join in. We have to be part of it. And we need to grow and mature in sharing in worship. The first thing a new baby has to do immediately after birth, the first thing is begin to breathe on their own. To breathe in and breathe out, breathe in and breathe out, to start that breathing mechanism going. That's prayer. In the life of a Christian person, every breath we take, in and out, prayer is what sustains our living. Prayer is the one thing we need to do. There's no growth without prayer, and we need to grow and mature in our praying. So, will we grow like Jesus? There are 5 images there of a growing plant, and there's room for many more. We could have added stages of growth in between the 5 that are there. We could certainly add another 12, 24, an infinite number beyond the last one. 2 things in that slide. Our congregation is not only for already mature plants. Our congregation is for everyone. We're not just here for those who are mature, but for those who are maturing. for those who are in the process of growing. A congregation where seedlings, young shoots, and mature plants can live together and together can grow. That's the congregation we want to be. A place for everyone, whatever stage you are in your journey of growing and becoming a mature disciple. Maturing as a disciple of Jesus is a never-ending journey. If you wanted to, you could study computers or coffees or cars, and the day would come when you know everything there is to know about computers or coffees or cars. You could do that. I trust you. I know you could learn anything you want to learn. And in these subjects, you're going to come to a point when you know everything. When you have grown as much as you can grow. That will never happen in our discipleship. We will never get to a point where we say, I have grown all I can grow. Every day we waken up in the morning is a day for us to grow as disciples of Jesus. Every single day. Will we grow like Jesus? Will we mature as those disciples who follow Jesus? That's the challenge we want to hold before one another in these days. The story we read earlier is of the boy Jesus at about 12 years old in the temple with the elders and the teachers of the law. We read, Jesus increased in wisdom and maturity, in grace with God and the people. Think for a moment about what this verse is telling us. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one incarnate Son of God, the Savior of all people, the light of the world, the one who is Emmanuel, God with us, this one grew. He matured. He developed. God could, by means of a different miracle, have come among us as an already fully grown, fully mature Savior. He could have done that, but he didn't. He chose to come as an infant born in Bethlehem, who grew into the young boy Jesus and continued to grow into the man Jesus of Nazareth. I think one of the reasons why God chose this way was precisely to teach us that just as Jesus grew, so we need to grow. As Jesus matured, we need to mature as disciples. Yes, in that moment when we first come to believe in Jesus, when we know him at all as Savior, in that moment we are saved. He lays his hand on us. We are his disciple. We are welcomed into his family, into his kingdom. Our sins are forgiven. We are made right with God, all in an instant. But God's passion is for that instant to be the first instant of the rest of a lifetime of growing and maturing. Not an end point, but a new beginning of a new life, of new people made new in the likeness of Jesus, who are designed to grow as he grew. That's what we want to encourage one another to do. Will we grow as Jesus grew? After 3 days, they found Jesus sitting in the temple in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Don't you love it that this is in the Bible? The two basic ways of growing and maturing, listening and asking. Every question we ask is a point of growth. We learn something. We deepen our fellowship with one another. We enhance our worship. We talk with our God. Even without getting an answer, we mature just by asking. Every time we listen, we grow. We learn something. We learn something about our brother and sister who we're growing in fellowship with. We worship, we pray as we listen. We need to listen and listen again so that we might mature and grow. That's what our time of tea and coffee after the service is for, listening and asking. That's what the small groups we have through the week are for, listening, asking. That's what our Alpha course is for, listening and asking, so that we can grow and mature as the disciples of Jesus. Jesus said, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" There's a danger in talking about maturing as disciples. There's a danger here. For example, learning can be mistaken for gathering information. Learning isn't about gathering information. Fellowship isn't about simply spending time together. Worship is not a weekly event. Prayer is not saying a prayer and passing on to the next thing as quickly as we can. The goal of maturing as disciples of Jesus is to follow him, to follow Jesus into knowing God. And here's a great encouragement for us as we start this journey of maturing as disciples of Jesus. I must be in my Father's house. Jesus grew in knowing God as his Father. Not just information, I can say the words, God is my Father, but in experience, in an emotional connection with God, which is best expressed in the word Father. The prophet Hosea knew about this. He spoke about God with his people as though the people were an infant just beginning to start walking. The Lord says, "Did I not teach you to walk? Did I not catch you up in my arms?" And those two lines go together. That young infant just beginning to pull itself up and start to toddle about. What does a parent do? They walk behind them with their arms outstretched to catch them when they fall. Do we know God that way? Have we grown in our relationship with God that we trust him so much that he will catch us when we totter and stumble? That he will hold out his arms around us and lift us up close to himself? That's what Jesus is saying here. I'm in my Father's house. I'm in the place where I experience God's love, his strong arms all around me, the wonder of God teaching me how to walk. God is our Father. Just because we can say the words doesn't mean we know the experience. Maturing as disciples isn't about information, it is about relationship. Living together with God. Living together with one another. Growing in our awareness of God as our Father, who is present with us every moment of every day and just refuses to leave us on our own because he loves us. It's not enough to know that. We want to experience that. We want our hearts to be moved as we mature in our being the children of God. This isn't going to happen in a moment. It's going to happen in 1,000 moments, day by day, year by year, as we enter more and more into the presence of God, as we recognize God present with us, more and more as we mature in his love and his grace, more and more as we recognize Christ in others, sharing the love and grace of God in Christian fellowship, because we're all the children of the one Father. Becoming people who are the grace and love of God for others. those who know and experience God as their Father, being that experience of the Father's love for those we meet. Doesn't that sound like something you want to grow into? Living for the glory of God. Knowing God as a Father whom we love, who we just want to tell Him how great He is, that's what worship is. Becoming the answer to the prayer, "Hallowed be your name." People who live for God's glory in His presence. Knowing God to be an ever-present conversation partner with us. Someone we can talk to just in our normal voice, with our normal words. Every thought before Him. This is maturing in prayer. And Jesus invites us to follow Him. To follow Him here. To follow Him in maturing as the children of His Father. To follow Him in growing into this awareness of living in the Father's house every moment of every day. As a congregation, after Jesus, we are inviting one another, encouraging one another. Let's mature as disciples of Jesus. There's more to the life of being a disciple of Jesus than we have yet known. Let's journey into that more together. Will we grow like Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word, given for our learning. Open our eyes as we read, and open our ears as we hear, and change our hearts, that our desire might be to grow as Jesus grew. And Father, today, we want especially to pray for one another that we would know what it is to live our lives in our Father's house, to know your arms around us, to know what it is to be caught up by you when we stumble and fall. We want to grow into this more and more, and we want to pray this for one another. Be our Father. Soften our heart that we might know your Father's love and touch upon us. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.